It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Finally, tonight we get to the main course. I've been waiting for Jacob to come in the studio so we can get to the bottom of my rabbit problem. Jacob Burns is the curator of perennials at the Chicago Botanic Garden. It's great to see you. Thanks for coming back. I appreciate it. We had a great convo last week. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you have any questions about. We're going to talk tonight about late summer planting, but also preparing the garden and your flowers and your plants for essentially fall and beyond. Mm-hmm. Does that sound good? But first, let's talk rabbits. Punk ass rabbits, man. I will say I'm losing my mind. Last time we talked, I was like, well, I have a little bit of a rabbit problem. They're nipping at my hostas. And then in the last maybe month, a family of rabbits has kind of moved in, and they have destroyed it all. As I was telling the audience at the beginning of the show, I'm about $45 into Home Depot at this point. I keep going back to buy little. I'm like, I'll replace it with this one, replace it with that. And I just cannot shake these guys. I mean, I know the old sort of Looney Tunes thing where they're always trying to go after the rabbit, but are the rabbit essentially the biggest nemesis for gardeners and for plants in this area?
Yeah, in the city, they're probably the biggest nemesis because, I mean, in the country, you have deer, and they can do way more damage than a rabbit. But, yeah, there's a lot of rabbits. I mean, I think rabbits can produce, like, 16 offspring a year. And so, it's true.
They're not scared of me, Jacob. That's the thing. I thought, like, it'd be like, they're holding their ground. I was sitting on my little bench, and I was looking at the flowers, just kind of dealing with it, and one of them bounded at me. Like, he turned direction in mid, you know, and flew, or, you know, and I was like, so anyway, I told the audience here too, and I know that you're not an avid listener, so I'm sure you didn't pick this up, but I went on your recommendation and I got the spray, the deer spray, right? Mm-hmm. It's for deer and rabbits. That's what it says. And I sprayed it on my hostas and the plants, and I did the whole thing, right? I sprayed it, and it's got a pungent smell to it. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to shut the door. My neighbors can deal with that, right? Came out a couple hours later. And the plants were completely covered with flies, just flies. It was like gross. It was like they were just like in love with whatever this spray was.
It's probably the foul odor that it emits. Yeah, and so, I think there's like rotten eggs in it probably.
Yeah, then I had to put water on. I'm not putting this back out, and now the rabbits were back. So what can I do to stop the rabbits? I mean, if I'm not, some of my listeners have already texted in. They taste great. Kill them. I'm not going to do that. I've made a choice. That's not going to be my modus operandi here. So what can I do as a gardener in the city to keep these guys out of my stuff?
Well, I mean, there's many options that you could try. Just the problem is a lot of them are kind of tacky or not nice to look at. Fences, obviously. I heard that rubber snakes, you know, might scare them away.
Really?
Fake owls might scare them away. But I mean, the sprays can work, but there's so many different kinds. It's hard to know like which one's best. But the trick with the sprays too, is that once the rabbit gets a taste of that plant, it knows it likes it. And no matter what you put on it at that point, the rabbit will continue to eat it. It's almost like probably putting like a ketchup on something, you know?
So they automatically don't care if something tastes.
Yeah, they know what it tastes like. So I think the trick with the sprays, honestly, is to get it early in the season as the plants are first coming up, before the rabbit has a chance to even, you know what it tastes like.
Right.
So that might be where the spray failed, because the rabbit had already been eating it.
What about the idea of, and texters are texting around, marigolds, mums, flowers that they don't like?
Yes, so that's another thing. They don't like plants with really strongly scented foliage. You could do like onions or garlic or marigolds nearby. Given that works if you have a sunny situation. But if you're like growing a hosta in the shade, you're probably not going to get good results with marigolds or anything that like onions, because they like full sun situations.
Let's put it into August. So these rabbits are going to be around for a while. They ain't going nowhere. Probably have already multiplied. do they split in the wintertime? Do they hibernate? I don't even know what their deal is.
I think what they'll do is probably look for some sort of a shelter to kind of hide in over the winter. And so if you have piles of like sticks, branches,
that kind of stuff,
things like that, they like to hide in those. Not that there's a lot of those in the city. So hopefully if most of the stuff dies down in your yard in the city, you can probably, they might not have, you know, a good place to hide. So you might be able to scare them out in the winter.
So the idea being that, I just want to be able to sort of reset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've already lost this battle.
Right.
It's difficult for me to say that.
Yeah.
I'm very Donald Trumpian in that way. I'm not going to admit that I'm wrong in any form. But I will say that come winter, I want to reset. So the goal would be in the spring when I plant new stuff is that to also at the same time put repellent or whatever I need to do so that the rabbits just don't even start.
Yeah. Yeah, especially newly planted stuff. I find that rabbits love the stuff with really fresh, tender, like, foliage that had been fertilized in the nursery for a long time. They love that stuff. As soon as it goes in, they go after it.
They know the more expensive stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
They have expensive taste.
They're like, oh, he paid good money for this. It must taste good. Yeah, exactly.
So when I'm going up again on Mother's Day, getting something from Gethsemane, I'm like, oh, this is real nice. This is real nice. And they'll get on that stuff real quick.
Yes.
The Home Depot stuff, they're like, well, I'm a couple days. That's all we got. We'll
yeah, it's true. Sometimes plants, like, you could have a fully mature plant that's been in the ground for like 5 years, and they might not touch it. But you can add that same plant that's fresh out of the nursery, like a little young one, and they might eat that one because, like I said, it has like fertilized, it'd been fertilized, it's got all this fresh tender growth. So yeah, it's interesting. They love the new
stuff. I can't tell you, Jacob, these punks, they every single, I had a nice purple and pink like in a and we'll talk about this, is inside a container, and they just ate every one of them. Like
what
I came
it?
Out, it was, I gotta remember what it was. It was something I got. It was like a, almost like a hanger, but I put it in the ground, like in a potted plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it from Home Depot and it was purple and it was pink. And they ate it in a day. Like it was all gone. I came out like 2 days later and it was just gone.
Wow.
And I was like, these punks, man, this is war.
Well, I think.
And I've got friends. I've got Jacob come in here and tell me what to do.
Yeah.
What friends do you have, rabbits?
I feel your pain. I think you cursed me from our last conversation because within the past like month, I've had a rabbit in my own backyard.
What do you do?
And I hadn't had one there for like 3 years.
What do you do as a?
I've just tolerated it because it seems to only be eating these sweet potato vines that I have in the ground. And it just keeps eating those three plants. And then I have a few like Asiatic lilies where it likes to eat the little leaves off the side of the big thick stem. But those had flowered a long time ago, so I wasn't too concerned about it. But I am getting a little concerned because there's not much left of the sweet potato vine. So if they do move on to something else, then I'm probably going to have to take some measures.
Well, okay.
Yeah. But,
all right.
But yeah, now I have one.
Good. I'm glad that
they're
you
everywhere.
Feel the pain.
It's a bad year. At the Chicago Botanic Garden, we've had more than we've seen normally too. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I think we're on to something.
They've been very productive this year.
Jacob Burns is the curator of perennials at the Chicago Botanic Garden. We're taking your calls, talking about gardening. When we come back, let's talk about hanging baskets, container plants, and also just the idea of what we should expect from our garden and our plants and our flowers at this time of the year moving into the fall. Jacob's here in studio. Stay with us. Chicago Botanic Gardens, Jacob Burns is here. He's a curator of perennials. We're talking gardening, really getting into what to do in August. You know, for me, you know, rabbits aside, we'll get past the rabbits. It's hard for me to do so, but we will. You know, I'm always finding myself, you know, I've done all of this sort of gardening and flowering, if you will. I'm not really doing any sort of vegetables or anything to my front area, and I want it, especially in August, because that's when I'm outside, I want it to still look good. You know, obviously the rabbits have destroyed my front yard. But the point being that, how do I do that? What do I have to do to make sure that the stuff that I planted in the spring stays through August and continues to illuminate my neighborhood.
Well, right now, with early August, we've got a lot of heat. It's hot. We're going through sort of a dry spell right now. So any newly planted things in your yard, annuals, newly planted perennials, tree shrubs, whatever, you're going to want to make sure that they're staying watered. You want to, if the soil's dry, you want to make sure basically that they're getting an inch of water a week. So if we haven't had rain in a while, you want to water those. And a good trick to kind of measure that is to maybe put like a coffee can there while you're watering.
Okay.
And so while you're watering, once it fills up to about an inch, then you know that, you know, you've got at least an inch of water.
Okay, that's smart.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's best to water early in the morning because that way if you do it in the middle of the day, like when it's really hot, the water will evaporate faster, so less of it will go into the soil. So if you do it early in the day when the sun's down, it will have time to soak in. If you do it at night, you risk getting water on the leaves, which at this time of year, with the hot days and then very cooler nights with humidity, getting water on the leaves and then it going all night can lead to mildew, black spot on certain plants.
You don't want that, right?
You don't want any of that.
312-981-7200. If you got a question for Jacob, now's the time. 312-981-7200. When I go to a nursery or I go to the Home Depot or whatever, it feels like now is where they're going big sale, trying to get rid of stuff. I mean, is that just the idea that this stuff is, a lot of these flowers are dead after fall and that kind of thing? I mean, what is it? I mean, if I'm interested in taking another stab at this, even though the rabbits have destroyed me, are there certain plants that work in the month of August that would be good for me to start thinking about planting in the front yard?
Yeah, I mean, places have a lot of sales right now, but it is kind of a terrible time to plant for the next couple weeks because it's so hot, so dry. You're probably going to end up having to water your plant twice as much right now. But you could probably get some great sales. You maybe want to don't do that if you're not going to have time to water it.
Right.
But in a couple weeks, it will be cooling off. We're going to get cooler nights. Hopefully it'll rain. So late August and September is when you can finally start planting.
What are you planting in late August or September?
The sales you're finding at the nursery.
So, I'm only thinking in my head, maybe I'm trying to think like you get to October and here comes that October wind and rain. It's pretty much over, right?
Yeah. So the thing is, like, right now it's hot for the next couple of weeks, but then late August and September is when it starts to cool off, and it's best to plant your stuff in late August because especially like evergreen shrubs and trees that need a lot of moisture going into winter because they haven't defoliated, so obviously they need more water than deciduous stuff. It's best to plant that kind of stuff in late August because it has time to establish its roots. Because if you plant something, say, if you plant something the first week of October, it might not have time to get established before winter sets in, and then it might not make it through the winter.
Jacob Burns is in studio with me. He's the curator of perennials at the Chicago Botanic Garden. The lines are lighting up with different questions, so we might as well get to it. Why don't we go to Liz? Liz, welcome to the download. Jacob is here. What's your question for Jacob?
Well, mine is a really simple question. I'm wondering what sort of weed killer I can use that will really kill the weeds, because I feel that the weeds are just laughing at me. I have spent
like the rabbits.
Fortune on it. I spray them, they fall over, and 2 days later they pop up. They may have brown bits on them, but they keep growing.
All right. Thanks, Liz.
The thing I use is glyphosate. It's pretty much Roundup. But that's what you're using, one of my suggestions would be, I mean, if these weeds are these weeds really big? Are they woody?
She's
that's
the
question.
Line, yeah.
So if the weeds are huge, like very tall, have a lot of foliage, one thing you can do is cut the plant back, and then you'll have less foliage that you need to cover. And you could even maybe get it down inside the stem if it has a hollow stem. And then some things like poison ivy or something like that that's woody, those types of weeds take a lot longer. You might have to do multiple applications on them.
Weeds.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bonnie. Bonnie, what's your question, Bonnie?
Hi. I was wondering, is it too late to plant cornflowers? You know, those beautiful purple, tall cornflowers. And also sedum. Sedum are so beautiful in the fall, and I'm just not sure if I can even find those. But those are two of my favorites that the rabbits seem to leave alone.
Oh, interesting. Thanks,
by the way.
Hey, that's good to know.
Yeah, well, sedums, you'll probably, there's some fall blooming sedums, some late blooming ones like Autumn Joy. You'll probably see a lot of nurseries starting to carry those right now because they look beautiful in the garden in containers right now. So those, yes, you can definitely plant. Like I said, if you plant in the next 2 weeks, you're going to be watering a lot. But if you plant,
doesn't bother me.
Right. Cornflowers. Are you speaking about the annual? Are they annual, like a blue flower?
No, they're purple. Am I saying the wrong thing?
Coneflower. Coneflower?
Coneflowers.
Yes, yes, yes. That's no problem. Coneflower, which is echinacea, also can be planted now, too, and a lot of places carry them right now. They bloom for so long. They'll continue blooming right up until frost. So a lot of nurseries will still have those. And they come in so many different colors now, too, and different sizes. But coneflowers are great, too. I suggest those for your garden, any garden, because they bloom for so long.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Well, thank you. And, Justin, you should get a fox or a hawk or a coyote. From the suburbs to borrow for like 1 week.
How great would that be if I brought down to my city block a fox? I'm like, hey, everybody, this is my fox. It's taking care of everybody's problems.
The coyotes and foxes are really scared of people.
Oh, great.
I've had a lot of experience with all of those. But, of course, I live in the suburbs, so...
Yeah, I haven't seen a fox. I've seen rats as big as foxes, but no foxes for me, man.
Oh, well, you can keep those, but you can borrow my dog if you want.
All right. Thanks, Bonnie. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Let's go to Denise. Denise, what's your question, Denise?
Hi. I don't have a question. I have a solution for the rabbits that I've been using for over 20 years.
Okay. I'm into it.
Okay. So every spring I buy a large container of cayenne pepper or containers, from Costco or... you know, another place like that. I sprinkle it on my plants every morning before I go to work. Takes a bit of time. I do it every day for about 30 days. And then I have no rabbits all summer long.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So the trick is to get it early
again,
in the spring.
To get it
early
it.
And repeatedly, you have to do it every day.
I like
and,
it, though.
It doesn't bother dogs, cats, people.
It's just
it
the rabbits.
It doesn't hurt anything. No animal likes it.
I know. I love it. Thanks, Denise. Nice. That's a great suggestion. That's what I'm talking about, because that's the kind of thing that I feel like I also get a victory because it's too spicy for the rabbits and they don't like it. And then they're like, and I'm like, yeah, exactly.
And you can cook with it.
Yeah. I don't like the stuff where like, put up a fence, that kind of stuff, because then ultimately I don't get the satisfaction that they were not liking it. You know what I mean? Like a fence, they're like, I can't get over it. But a cayenne pepper, you know, it's just hilarious. Someone put a little cayenne pepper in somebody's nose. They're like, you're like, so that's good. All right. Jacob Burns in studio. He's a curator of perennials. 312-981-7200. I've got a couple people on. I got texts. We got a lot of stuff to get through here. Here's another one. Let me see. Justin, you need a dog for rabbits, hawk. That's there you go. A lot of people trying to give me more stuff.
I like all the hawks.
I know, right?
Where do you buy one of those?
I was gonna say, is Royal Tenenbaums, where he's up on the like, what is that? Is that a hawk? Where they're like, I gotta be a hawk guy with the they have to be blind or something like that. I forgot what it has. I've had domestic rabbits as pets for 25 years. I'm laughing listening to your convo about wild rabbits. There's a spray to keep your pet rabbits from biting on baseboards and cords. Some bunnies hate it and some lick it up like salad dressing. See, that's the problem. I think the guys I have, they're just so used to like living on the streets that they're like, I'll eat anything and you cannot stop me. So that's what I got to deal with. Jacob Burns in studio from Chicago Botanic Gardens, 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break to get an update on tonight's news and we will continue. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're talking plants and flowers and vegetables and gardens with Jacob Burns from the Chicago Botanic Garden. He's a curator of perennials. 312-981-7200. A couple of things we'll get to while people are on the line here. Plants that are hanging plants, containers. I've had this problem on my back. I got two of them for my back area that's right above the deck or whatever that is there. And I feel like those go too. Like I don't do a good job with those, especially when it gets hot.
Yeah. Hanging baskets, especially this time of year, by now they get very root bound and they're hanging up there with the wind blowing. And so they dry out really quickly. So this time of year, you're probably watering them daily, if not twice a day. So
really?
Yeah, so you can continue to do that. But if you want to make your life a little easier, you could consider repotting them into something slightly bigger or just replacing them altogether.
Okay. So, I mean, how often, I mean, for those hanging plants, what you get, I mean, those are the kind of stuff that I get for $11.99 or something like that. Is it worth it to repot it? I mean, or is it the kind of thing where you're like, okay, this thing, it did its duty for 3 months.
Right. It just depends on how important that look is for you to have.
I just feel bad. I feel like it's like a living plant. You know, I don't want to be like, you're a little wilty. I'm going to throw you in the garbage.
But they're called annuals. So they're going to die once the cold hits anyway. So, I mean, yeah.
Cold hearted over here.
But with other containers, those will probably get root bound too. Not the ones that aren't hanging, like ones you have on your steps or porch or something. Those can get root bound too. And at this point is when you could start replacing some of that stuff with more like fall oriented stuff, because a lot of nurseries are going to start having black eyed Susans and mums. And
yeah. So for me,
grasses.
I mean, I have some annuals and some perennials in my front area that I've been complaining about on the show for the last 2 months. But the, there's a possibility to replant some fall annuals that are going to give it a more fall look.
Yeah, it'll give it kind of a late summer fall look, and it'll tolerate some of the cold snaps that we might get later in September and October. It'll last for quite a while.
All right, so talk to me about what I need to do once it's hot right now, so you know we don't have to necessarily go crazy. You know, and go in there right now and buy a bunch of stuff. But talk about the things I need to do to prepare for the fall. One of the things that you mentioned is dividing. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
It's not something you have to do. It's something you can do. Okay. So if you want to increase perennials, if you want to increase the amount of perennials you have, now's a great time to start doing that. Well, in a couple of weeks is a great time to start doing that. You could, some of the stuff like bleeding hearts, oriental poppies, irises, you'll start to notice the leaves are starting to turn yellow.
Okay.
They're getting ready to go dormant. Now, while they're still visible, is a great time to dig those up and separate them and make more plants if you want, or
okay,
share them with a friend. And like basically, you can divide perennials all the way from now until the end of September. And like I said, now is a good time to get them in the ground because they'll establish before winter. If you waited to do that the first week of October, they might not have time to settle in before the cold comes.
630 wants to know, what do I need to do to separate daylilies? Can I do this at this time of year? So that answers that question.
Yeah, exactly. Just like I said, I wouldn't do it this week when it's super hot, but in a couple of weeks, you could dig up the clump. And you could shake off the soil, and daylilies have these really tuberous roots. They're really thick. You can basically separate those, but just by pulling them apart. If for some reason you can't pull them apart, you could use a knife. Cutting off a few of the roots isn't going to hurt the plant. You could break them into smaller plants and spread them out and have a lot more.
Wow, man. It's almost like it's a little life hack.
Yeah, daylilies are pretty hard to kill.
But so, just the idea in general of separating perennials, I feel like it's getting more for my money. I like
exactly
it. That's what I'm talking about here. Exactly. Now we're getting somewhere. 847 wants to know, can you tell me what to do about the Rose of Sharon coming up all over my grass? What does that mean? Is that a thing?
So Rose of Sharon is this basically a tree form of hibiscus It comes in many colors, pinks, blues, whites. They're quite beautiful, but they set so much seed and almost every one of them germinates. And if you don't get them quick enough, you don't pull them out quick enough, they can get a really, a little taproot that shoots way down really quickly. And when you go to pull them out, it's really hard. It's just like a lot more work than just pulling out a normal weed. So, I just don't recommend planting Rose of Sharon's because they're so weedy. Yes. But keeping them out of his lawn, yeah. I don't know if maybe a weed and feed might help.
Is it a weed?
It's not a weed, but if it's a seed germinating, weed and feed would prevent the seed from germinating.
So that's what that means.
So he could sprinkle, put some of that on the lawn where they're coming up, and that could prevent the Rose of Sharon seeds from germinating.
Okay, so let me ask you a quick question as we get close to wrapping up here. Lawns, I hadn't talked about this at all. Most of the times we're just talking about my situation, which there's no lawn.
Right.
It's just a couple of flowers that I try to sneak in by the gate. But for a lot of people who are listening right now who have lawns and lawn production, how do they keep the lawn working when you get into the hot months? I hope the answer isn't just put a ton of water on it.
Well, right now, you're going to notice because we're going to dry spell, and I've noticed a lot of grass that is starting to turn brown. I mean, like equally brown throughout. If you're getting little brown patches, then that's signs of something else, like grubs or something. But if you're getting like consistent like browning across your grass, then that does mean it hasn't had enough water.
Okay.
And like I mentioned before about that inch of water per week, you can do the same thing. Water your grass. Put a can down to measure it if you want. Make sure it gets enough water. But the thing is about the grass, the turf that we use here usually does best when it's cooler anyway. So in the summer, if it's not getting that water, it's going to start to go dormant. And that's what you're starting to see when it's turning brown. So the chances of saving it, you can keep it alive, but it's dormant. But if you want it to be green immediately, it's probably not going to happen. It's probably going to wait until the cooler weather comes. So come September, it'll green back up.
Okay.
But you might have to live with it looking nasty for a while.
All right. So as we get ready for fall planting, the follow-up question I always get ahead of myself is at what point do I have to start preparing my area for the winter?
Cutting back stuff and all that can happen like in October. So right now, what you're going to do is just watch for, you can deadhead stuff. That with perennials, you can deadhead some of them and it'll keep them blooming longer.
What does that mean?
Okay. So deadheading is when like say a coneflower, like we mentioned earlier, echinacea.
Yeah.
So, they keep spitting out flowers all year long. And usually you don't have to deadhead that because the seed heads actually look nice if you leave them for the winter. But there's other perennials like salvias that they'll start to kind of peter out about now. But if you start to cut back some of the old flowers, it'll start putting out some new flowers.
Oh, okay.
So just like cutting off the old flowers and not letting them go to seed because it's going to put all its energy into producing seed. And if you cut off those spent flowers so it doesn't waste its energy on making seed, then it'll put out more flowers. So you can get some perennials to bloom longer by deadheading
right now.
This
is interesting. So is that a pretty normal way that most plants do it? So it's the same kind of concept for hydrangea. If you don't actually get in there, if you got one that's just dying on the vine, it thinks it's time to go into essentially plant hibernation?
Yeah. I mean, the ultimate answer is that it depends on what plant it is, but there are many perennials that, not necessarily shrubs, but a lot of perennials where you can deadhead and you can get them to bloom longer. Annuals too. Annuals you can deadhead. Marigolds. Some are like self-shedding. Like they'll shed their flowers. But
I noticed with some of the stuff that the rabbits just decimated that the plant wants to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it's not. I mean, the rabbit was so selfish. And ate all of it, couldn't leave one of them, had to eat all of it, because it's, some reason it's not enough just to eat the one. The selfish rabbit. I realize that they're fighting to come back, that the plant's coming back. You start to see bulbs popping up. It sort of feels the thing. So is there anything I can do to make sure that happens after a rabbit so selfishly eats my stuff?
Well, I would not encourage anyone to fertilize right now. Because what you're going to do if you fertilize your plants is they're going to put a lot of effort into growth. And right now you really just want your plants to tire out and get ready for winter. If they put a lot of extra growth on, then that new tender growth, like that's especially true for roses right now. You do not want to fertilize those. They'll put out all this new growth, and then that new growth won't be like sturdy enough. It'll be too tender when you get into winter, and it can mm-hmm. freeze off.
Ah.
And hurt your plant.
Catch 22.
Yeah.
You're no-
so don't fertilize after right. the first week of August.
No.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I won't do it. Jacob Burns is the curator of perennials. I'm happy to say, a regular here on the Download. I'm learning so much about gardening and about flowers and lawns, and I appreciate you sharing and answering questions from Download Nation. Jacob, thanks for being here, and you got to come back. In September, we can come back, and probably a good time, like towards the end of the month, to talk
about fall.
Fall?
Sure.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Jacob, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.